There are none more blessed than true believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for we are saved by grace through faith. On today's broadcast titled, The Blessing of Being Found Watching, recorded July 28th, year 2024, on Apostolic Square in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Bishop Omega presents a sermon which encourages us to make the most of the time God has given us by leading a Spirit-filled life. The principal text is found in the books of Matthew, 24th chapter, and Luke, 12th chapter.
Saints, the reason we're here today, and I told you last week that we would be examining or covering some of Jesus' parables. The Old Testament reminds us that with the Lord, 1,000 years is as yesterday. This is the Old Testament, Moses' prayer in Psalms 90, verse 4. Moses in his prayer tells us that for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. And a watch in the night is a 3 or 4 hour period. So the point there is that to the Lord, what seems long to us is nothing to him, very short to him. And of course, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:8 that 1,000 years with the Lord is as one day, and one day is 1,000 years. What is all this saying? That our lifetime, therefore, is but a puff of smoke, so that we should make the most of our lifetime to bring glory to the Lord, bring forth the kingdom, to honor him, and make the most of what he's given you. And Jesus makes this point very well in Matthew. That's not my main reference today, but I want to refer you to it. Matthew, the 25th chapter, where he speaks of 10 virgins who were responsible for providing oil for the bridegroom. Now, to give you the background on that, this is not my main text. I want to get you to it, but this is to show you the importance of how you spend your time and what you do with the time the Lord has given you. In this particular parable, in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, the Lord speaks of 10 virgins. Now, understand that parable had nothing to do with these women's chastity or their virginity. They were simply the bridesmaids. And it was assumed that if you're not married, this is in the days of 2,000 years ago in Palestine, in Israel, it was considered you were a virgin because you're not married. So when it says people get perturbed and taken aback and misunderstand what this is saying, then the kingdom of the heavens shall be likened to 10 virgins. It has nothing to do, this parable in Matthew, the 25th chapter, has nothing to do with these women's virginity. But he's just saying that the bridesmaids who were there to light the way for the bridegroom, he was just saying that these bridesmaids had a duty, and their duty was to light the way, to be ready for when the bridegroom returns from the bride's house. All of that is not said in here. But unless you understand that's the context in which Jesus is speaking, you would think that this parable is about these girls' virginity. And even when he says they begin to get up and trim their lamps, he's talking about the wick inside the lamp, which was easier to light and made a clearer light when you trim the wick, which represents the Spirit. He's saying, while I'm gone, all of my disciples, Jesus was saying, make sure you have enough Spirit in your life, Spirit-led life, filled with the Spirit guiding you, what you do in life. Make sure that is you have ample supply of that. All this is representing Jesus when he comes. The 6th verse of the 25th chapter of Matthew. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, trimmed their wick in their lamps, to make it a clearer light that would shine. Jesus was just telling a parable, and everyone of that day would have understood what he was talking about. And you say, how are we supposed to understand that today? Now, through preaching. Through teaching, and you'll see we're going to get to that too. That's the job of pastors. That's the job of little flock leaders. That's the job of parents. Anyone that is in position to feed people the word of God, we have to always be ready to do that. And we're going to get to that in a minute too. A second parable Jesus uses is about wasting the goods or the talent that he's given us. And he uses that in Matthew when he talks about the talents. Okay. I give you so much money. I'm going away for a while. Invest for me so that I might have more when I come back. One lazy guy goes, I'm not doing anything. And then he has the nerve to tell the master, I know you're a shrewd dude. I know you don't like people messing with your money. So you know what I did? That one talent you gave me, I held on to it. And in this parable, Jesus says, since you knew I was a mean guy, now Jesus isn't a mean guy. He's saying, let me use your thinking. Since you claim to know me, since you're saying I'm a hard taskmaster, since you're saying I don't like anybody playing around with my money, don't you lose my, since you know I'm like that, why didn't you at least put it in the bank so I can gain interest? So Jesus said, that which you do have, take from him. And he's going to punish you. Cut him to pieces. There'll be gnashing of teeth and weeping. Point is, use what he's given you to bring more to your master. What did he give you? Talent? What did he give you? A great personality? Whatever he gave you, you have just so much time to use what he's given you to help the kingdom. Now, the third one is where I'd like to bring us today, because this is also mentioned in Matthew, but what Matthew does not tell us is certain details that Luke does tell us, and that is those servants who are expecting him and are put in leadership positions. That's where he gets to whom more is given, more is required. Those in the church, that would be the presbytery. That would be those over organization committees. If you're over anybody. At home, it's the parents. Whoever is over somebody else, over other believers, it's incumbent upon you to always be ready to care for, to have concern for those you're over, and to constantly, in some way, feed the word. Now, when he says feed, he uses the analogy of a householder who goes away and leaves one of his servants in charge of the other servants to feed them in due season, to take care of them. So let's read first, if you would, Matthew, because I want to show you what Luke includes that Matthew does not include. Go to Matthew 24:45.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants.
Smite means to hit or beat, take advantage of, abuse, yes?
And to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites.
Notice the word hypocrites there. Hypocrites means someone who acts like something they're not. That's important for later when we get to Luke's account of the same thing. Carry on.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Now let's go to Luke. Here we have the twin of that, what we just read. Now don't forget, this is a parable. And this is where a lot of people get it wrong because they tend to take these things literally. And the Lord is using words to express something else that he's saying. The parables are not literal. But I want to point out something here that, and I found this striking, that I didn't notice these nuances before. And as we're going to get to here now, in Luke 12:35, that same reading we just heard in Matthew, here is Luke's rendition of it.
Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning.
Now let's explain here. See, he's not talking about lights. And in fact, if you carry on, and yourselves like men waiting for their master when he will return from the wedding, and he comes and knocks on doors and they open them immediately. He's not talking about having your lights on 24/7. Because when you go to sleep, you're expecting Jesus. You're going to have one heck of an electric bill. Jesus is not talking about that. Nor is he saying in their day it would have been a candle lit or a torch. He's not saying keep a torch lit, keep waiting for me. No, he's saying be aware, be ready. At all times, I may come at any times. Now, again, he's using a parable. And he says have your... What's the classical King James?
Let your loins be girding about, let
your loins
burning.
Girded. Now this is, let your waist be girded. That pictures long robes with a belt around your waist. He's saying put the robe in your belt so you can be free to move around and serve. So he doesn't mean remain dressed when you go to bed. It's a parable. So what is he saying? Always be ready to serve. But he uses a figure of a servant in a long robe as they dressed then, with a belt around his waist. But he says, now put your garments in your belt so you can have some freedom of movement. What he's saying is always be ready. And he's not saying keep your lights on. He says, let your waist, what is
be
that? Loin?
Let your loins be
let
girded.
Let your waist be girded.
And your lights burning.
And your lights burning, right? And you yourselves.
Like unto men that wait for their Lord.
Be like men waiting for their master or their Lord, small l, their Lord, he said. He's picturing a household. And the householder, the owner, goes away. He has servants in the house. Some clean the upstairs, some clean the downstairs. But one of them he puts in charge of the others. This is what he's picturing here. In this parable, he's saying, be ready as though when I go away to a wedding, you don't know when I'm coming back. Maybe the wedding is prolonged and I stay late. He's going to get to that in a minute. But he says, all of you servants, though, since you don't know when I'm returning from this wedding, and he just picked an arbitrary occasion, a wedding. He says, you don't know when I'm coming back. So everyone stay ready to receive me. This is what Jesus is saying. He's trying to tell us what it's like for him, his disciples, for us today. It's as though he's gone away to a wedding. But here he's using a householder, someone who owns a house, assuming he's rich because he has servants all over the house. But he leaves one servant as a steward, the man in charge, a foreman of the other servants. But they're all servants, right? Are you with me? This is the analogy he's using. He's saying, keep the lights on, keep a torch burning back in that day. But for us today, let's use today's analogies. Keep your lights on and keep your clothes tucked where you can move around. That's all he's saying, which means be prepared at all times to receive me because you don't know when I'm returning from the wedding.
And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord.
You be like servants waiting for the master of the house to return.
When he will return from the wedding.
When he returns from the wedding.
That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him.
Now, he doesn't literally mean when he comes, he's going to knock. Jesus, because he says he's going to come in a moment of twinkling of an eye. But notice he said that you may open immediately. What does that imply? You don't have to turn off things that you shouldn't be watching. You don't have to stop beating your wife. So he's saying, whenever I come, you're instantly ready to receive me. Do you see the picture he's painting here? That when the master returns, because I may come late from this wedding, you don't know when I'm coming. He says, but as soon as I knock, in other words, as soon as you have an indication that I'm here, be ready. Now, here's one thing I found so fascinating, which I overlooked many, many times before, and I read it like everyone else. And thus, the title of today's sermon, The Blessing of Being Found Watching. The blessing. There is a special blessing for being found. Watching means ready. Now, of course, here again, he doesn't mean spend the rest of your life doing this. He's not telling you look up to the heavens physically. You don't know when I'm coming. But he says to be found watching, ready. Whenever you hear today the word watching, it only means ready. Watching means you're not asleep. That's all it means here in this parable. Watch this, verse 37. Blessed
are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily. Now,
pay attention here. I want you to please just dwell on these words. There's a special, extra special blessing for servants who are ready, watching, ready when Jesus returns. What is that blessing? Well, he tells us very explicitly. Now, we know all of our lives we serve the Lord, right? We Christians, don't we serve the Lord?
Yes, sir.
In eternity, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Here he tells you, I'm going to serve you. Mm. Look at this.
Wow.
For those who are ready, he says, I'm going to put on clothes, my apron, and serve you.
Yes, sir.
And tell you, sit down and eat. What is he saying? I'm going to specially honor you just for being ready.
That's good.
Look at this. Read
That's
this.
Good.
Blessed are those servants whom when the master comes will find watching.
Verily.
Verily I say to you.
That he shall.
He, Jesus.
Amen.
Look at this special blessing.
That's good.
Do you see this, saints? This is what knocked me off my feet.
That's good.
It's been there all along.
True.
Watch this. He says, assuredly I say to you that he will gird himself, the master will gird himself and have them sit down.
Yes.
Look at this.
Sit down to meat.
To eat.
And will come forth.
And I will come and I'll serve you.
Yes.
That's what Jesus just said. Now, isn't it worth being ready for the Lord?
Yes.
When were we taught this? This blessing, this special blessing, just for being ready. And I love Jesus giving us this assurance that for those of you, you fallen but forgiven sinners, that I now call disciples, yea, friend, yea, brethren. This is Jesus talking. He says, all of you that are ready when I call you, ready when I come, ready when I knock at that metaphorical door, ready. When you meet me, I'm going to serve you.
Yes, amen.
That's why it's worth believing now, getting and straightening up your life now. I'm telling you. And then knowing that you have faults, knowing you have sin, every day just, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. I feel sorry for the self-righteous people. I have nothing to forgive, but maybe you do, but I don't. I don't think like that. That right there is sin.
That's right.
You're thinking you're better somehow and don't need Jesus and you're better than everybody else.
Amen.
And the Lord himself tells us everybody needs forgiveness, starting with the preacher.
Amen.
You know why? You're going to see here in a minute. To whom more is given, more is required.
Yes, sir.
James said, watch out desiring to be a preacher. We're held to a higher, stricter standard, and we're about to get to that in this parable. And the reason I'm using Luke is because old foot in the mouth Peter steps out there again and shows us something we never knew before. Matthew didn't cover it. Luke, Dr. Technical, meticulous Dr. Luke does bring it out that, by the way, at that same occasion, Peter said, Matthew didn't tell us that. That's why I used Luke's version for the fuller explanation of what we read in Matthew 24:45. Luke gives us details that Matthew doesn't give us. And it's for particular reasons, because Luke is meticulous like that, being the blessed physician. Anyway, as we read, listen. Blessed, verse 37, blessed are those servants who when the master, or his Lord, when he comes, will find...
Watching,
prepared, ready.
Verily, I say unto you...
Surely, I like when Jesus says verily, he means this will never be changed.
Amen.
Verily, I'm assuring you, this is the Lord Jesus, God from heaven talking. I say to you...
He shall gird
Jesus
himself.
Is saying, I'm going to dress myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
And make them to sit down to meet.
And those that were ready, I'm going to make you sit down to eat.
And will come forth.
And I will come.
And serve them.
And I'm going to serve you. That's
Amen.
The Lord talking. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Read on, please.
Verse 38.
Now watch this. Remember we said a watch in the night is like from, I'll put it this way. The second watch is 9 to midnight. The third watch is midnight to 3 a.m. Now, Jesus pictured this householder went away to a wedding. He told his servants, keep your lamps ready, keep yourselves girded. Stay dressed and ready to serve me. Keep your aprons on and put your long robes in your belt. Be ready to do some work. And keep the lights on. Always be ready. Now, here's where Jesus lets us know, what if I'm delaying my coming? By saying, verse 38.
And if he shall come in the second watch.
Now, he said he, Jesus referring in the parable to the householder. So if Jesus comes between 9 and 12 midnight.
Or come in the third watch.
Or come between midnight and 3 a.m. What are most people doing at those hours? Sleeping. So Jesus is saying, what if, now, that's physically sleeping, but his point is, what if I come at an hour when you really don't expect? And your cognition, your awareness of me coming or not, is not on point, but you are already ready. But it could be that I come in the second watch, 9 p.m. to midnight, or midnight to 3. He said it could be really late. And you know the beautiful thing about this? If he delays his coming, saints, why is he doing it? Well, Peter tells us. 2 Peter 3:9.
The Lord is not slack concerning.
Why might he come in the second or third watch? This is what we're answering here. Why might it seem like he's taking so long? Why has it been 2,000 years, which is but for him, two watches? As he said in Psalm 90, verse 4, It's like a watch in the night, or it's like yesterday's fleeting. Or as Peter tells us, day with the Lord, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day. So Jesus has been gone for 2 days. Understand, to God in heaven, what is a day? What is a day? For 1,000 years is one day. What is your life? One watch in the night, a 3-hour, 4-hour period? So if he delays, now this again is a parable. So he's saying, so what if I come later than you think? Don't forget, Paul, Peter, the early first century saints, they all thought Jesus was coming in their lifetime. Well, by time, it's been 2,000 years, according to the way man has orchestrated, we count time. 2,000 years. For heaven, it's been a watch in the night. But now, why does Jesus delay his coming? Listen, Peter tells us.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness.
Some people think he's slack. He missed it. Why is he taking so long, as some men count slackness? Yes.
But his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
He wants folks that he's going to save to get right.
Amen.
And he's delaying his coming because everybody he's going to save is not right yet. And since we don't know his time schedule, some may not be born yet. But since they're written in the book of life, according to his timetable, they have yet to be born. That's why he delays his coming.
Amen.
And then again in Luke 13:6, he tells us another reason, he tells us again why he delays his coming.
Luke 13:6, he spake also this parable.
Again, a parable.
A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none.
Now, is he talking about a fig tree? See, he came to the fig tree and he found no fruit on it. Yes. Right.
Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it.
Do you hear Jesus pleading on your behalf? Ooh, Lord Jesus. Mm. You don't see in this parable what's going on here?
Yes.
It's as though God the Father is saying, I'm sick of this generation. Mm. Come on, let's get rid of them. Here comes Jesus. Hold on, Father. Yes. Yes. There's some more of them. Mm. Let me do some more fertilizing. Let me trim them. Let me prune. I have some more saving to do. Not that they're in disagreement. He's using a parable to explain why he delays. He says, let me dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down.
Yes.
Do you see how generous the Lord is?
Yes.
But look at these figures that he uses to let us know why he's delaying. He's not slack. As some men, as human beings, might think he is slack. Where is this God of yours? He says, come, so I come quickly. It's been 6 hours, 2 watches in the night. If you want to use Peter's analogy, one day. See, that's where another thing people take literally. 1,000 years, one day. His point is, time means nothing to me.
Amen.
Returning to Luke chapter 12 at verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants.
Yes.
And this know.
Now he changes. Jesus switches metaphors here. Before, he was talking about a householder and who went away to a wedding and may return at any time. And he left one of his servants in charge of the other servants, so that person would become a steward. He left them in charge, and he said, feed them in due season. Now, he says, but know this, switching metaphors. He's using another metaphor. And guess what? In this metaphor, Jesus makes himself in the place of the thief. He's not coming to steal. His point is coming unexpectedly. So Jesus says, know this, that if the master of the household had known what hour the thief would come, why did he just switch metaphors? Because he's trying to emphasize, be ready, you don't know when I'm coming. But it's worth noting that in this metaphor, he places himself in the figure of a thief. Again, not to do unrighteousness, but read it for yourself. Read, please, verse 39.
And know this, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come.
The good man means the owner or the master or the one, the householder, the one whose house it is. And don't think it's restricted to the sex of male. He said, if you, ladies, if you knew when he was coming, you would stay alert.
Amen.
That's all he's saying. You wouldn't be asleep. That's why he uses the word watch. Didn't he tell Peter, could not you watch with me 1 hour?
Yes.
He meant, couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? What did he do? Found them sleeping. So do you see how the metaphor here is used for watch, meaning be ready, stay awake. Now, here again, a fanatic will take it literal and think, I can't go to sleep. I got to pop me some pills and stay awake till Jesus comes. You'll end up dead. But his point is, be cognizant, aware that I could come at any time and ever ready. That's all he's saying here. So he switches metaphors by saying, and if the good man of the house or the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come,
he would have watched.
He would have stayed awake.
And would not have suffered.
He'd have been prepared. In other words, if you know, a thief is coming to rob your house, you stand there with your baseball bat, shotgun or whatever, you're standing there ready. I wish. You live by the wish factor. Had you known, you'd have been ready. That's all he's saying. He would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into.
Amen.
Therefore,
ready yourselves also.
That's what he means by watch. Do we all see that? Watch, stay watch. It only means be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, here is something else I did not realize before. And here is something that Luke includes that Matthew did not. Foot in his mouth, Peter takes the stage again. And I say that affectionately because Peter, God bless him, and we revere him and we respect him very much. But the Lord here shows us through his word that Peter often said things that either got him in trouble or got him corrected. Here Peter says, then Peter said to him, verse 41,
Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all?
Now, I'll explain this before we go back and get ready for Luke 12:1. Peter is saying here, Lord, are you talking to we 12, we special, we the circle around you, or to all these people? In other words, are we not a little different? Aren't we? Peter's saying, are we just like regular? This is what he's saying here. Lord, speak this to us only, or to all them? Now, here's why Peter's saying, look at verse 1 of 12, chapter 12 of Luke.
In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of
innumerable,
people,
all right? Thousands of people are there. This is what I want to put in your head. So Peter is looking, saying, all these thousands listening to you, you're grouping us with them?
You are listening to a message titled, The Blessing of Being Found Watching. Preached by His Eminence, Bishop Omega, from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146, or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
Now, these are at the time, some are Jesus' followers, some are just there out of curiosity, but they're all there to hear Jesus, right? But it says, let me read it in the modern King James. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. My point is, there were so many people, they were trampling each other. The image is clearly thousands were there to hear Jesus, right? So Peter, at verse 41, Peter wants to know from Jesus. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us? Or to everybody? You know, are you grouping us with all these people? We don't even know half of them, or most of them. And we're your inner circle. We're the 12. Now, this is Peter again. But now, look at the way the Lord answers him by asking a rhetorical question, which he does not expect them to answer. But the Lord makes it clear. And here we switch now to the third segment I'm getting to today. And this is the responsibility of church leaders. And this is why I wanted to use this particular one as opposed to Matthew's, because this is a little more detailed and nuanced. Then Peter said to him, Lord, are you speaking to us only or to everybody? You're grouping us with this whole big crowd that's so big we can't even number them? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful servant and wise servant, steward servant? Now, why did Jesus say this? Read the classical King James.
And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household?
Notice he uses the word steward here. The steward means a foreman. So Jesus right now just said, who is that wise and faithful steward? Peter asked, are you grouping us with everybody else, Lord? What Jesus is saying, oh, there will be leaders in the church. Meaning of my disciples, I will have leaders. Because he said, now, I want you all to think, who's the faithful and wise steward, preacher, leader, pastor, teacher, one who cares for the other? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season?
Yes.
Did you see what Jesus just said? Peter asked, are you grouping us with everybody else? Jesus just said through that rhetorical question, there will be leaders in the church who I expect to feed, care for, show concern for the others.
Yes.
So, no, Peter, you're not just like everybody else, but you're all servants. But of all my servants, I will have those who feed, care for, nurture, take care, feed my sheep. Remember this? So Jesus answered, you got to look at this language here. Jesus very shrewdly answered him by asking him a rhetorical question. Peter wants to know, Lord, are you grouping us? Your inner circle, those who travel with you, with all these people we don't even know, yet some of them are your followers. And Jesus uses the word steward. These little key things tell us what he's saying. Who then, Peter, is the wise and faithful steward?
Yes.
He just said, I'm making a distinction between you all and the whole of my following. Because I will have leaders who will feed, give them meat. He said, what does he mean by feed? The word. Teach them about me, Jesus is saying. Teach them about salvation. Teach them about holiness, living righteously. Who will do this? The wise and faithful steward will do it. So yes, there is a distinction, but you're all servants. You see what Jesus is saying? Didn't at another place he said, the Gentiles lord their position over one another. You shall not be like this.
Yes.
You are all brethren. Everybody in this building that believes in Jesus honestly is equal.
Amen. Amen.
There's no king standing here preaching to you. This is a steward, a servant like everybody else, whose position has been given that of pastoring, feeding, caring for. And in Acts, you'll see in the early church, they actually fed them food too. Actual meat, food. But Jesus is talking here about feeding them the word.
Amen.
Teach them about the gospel, the good news. That every man is a sinner. All need salvation through Jesus. Teach them this, he's saying. Feed them. And like when Peter said, I'm going to ever remind you of it. In fact, I'm going to have Mark write it down so that when this tent, is this temporary tabernacle is gone, you can go back and read 1st and 2nd Peter.
Yes.
But this is what we as teachers, pastors, leaders, anyone in charge of you over your own family when they're children, when they're little, you teach them. But look at that subtle way Jesus told Peter, no, you're not just like everybody else in one sense, but in one sense you are. Because I'm making you a steward who will feed the others in due season, their portion of food.
Yes.
In due season, at the right time, knowing when. So we started off with Jesus talking about the having enough spirit-led life, the 10 virgins in that parable. Then use the talents I've given you to do something. Make an investment in life. Double down on what I've given you. Make more of what I've given you. Add to it, right? Now he comes to leaders of the church. Here's your responsibility. Concern and feeding. Your concern is for the flock. Have you seen a shepherd? He's always concerned for the flock, for his sheep, and then he leads them with, beside still waters. He feeds them to green pastures.
Yes.
In the analogy, the green pastures for we pass is the word.
Yes,
no one is up here to hear about me. You want to hear about Jesus. What you come to church for today? Hear about hear about Jesus.
Amen.
Well, some element of the word of God.
Yes,
and it all gets to Jesus, even if you go to the Old Testament.
Amen.
That's what the Pharisees missed. Don't you miss that. So it's all about Jesus. Yes. Jesus says, blessed is that servant whom when his master comes, verse 33, will find so doing when he comes.
Yes.
So doing what? Feeding the flock. You, Peter, you special ones, the leaders of the church, that when the Lord comes, find so doing.
Amen.
To me, that says, preach until you're dead. You didn't see that? Read it again. Read verse 43.
Blessed is that servant.
Blessed is that servant, and he just referred to him as a steward, so that means he's one that's leading, one of the leaders, one of the pastors, one of the shepherds of the flock of Jesus.
Whom his Lord,
when Jesus comes,
shall find so doing.
Jesus shall find him feeding the flock.
Amen.
Giving, teaching the word. Blessed is that person. That's what he just said. Now, here's the two things I want to highlight that I did not notice in Matthew, which is not in Matthew, that he says, first of all, he's going to serve you. And then when Peter asks, are we just like everybody else? He says, no, there will be leaders in the church.
Amen.
Did you notice that subtle distinction? Peter didn't say straight out, are we better than these guys? He didn't say that. Neither did Jesus say straight away or plainly straight out. He said in a parable, the steward.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is he that when he comes, he shall find him feeding giving them their food in due season.
Amen.
So he made a distinction, if you can glean that. He made a distinction in that great multitude that you see at Luke 12:1 that was so numerous they were trampling one another, and the smaller inner circle around Jesus, those 12 that were with him, or even if you include the 72 that he appointed to go out, even if you, the 70 or 72, whatever, I don't feel like getting into that debate. But his point is, there will be church leaders. But the onus is going to be on church leaders to do something, to care for the flock of Christ. And it is Christ's flock, which we're going to get to in a minute. Not yours to abuse, but to be ever dutiful in serving them the word of God.
Luke 12:42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward?
This is after Peter said, are we all the same as those of this great multitude? Jesus said, well, who's that faithful and wise steward?
Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household.
Whom, when I come, I'm going to give a lot of responsibility to. There you go. People will say, does that mean he's going to make you ruler over the whole church? Parables. When he says make ruler over his whole household, he means I'm going to give you a lot of responsibility.
To give them their portion of meat in due season.
To feed them the word of God.
Amen.
At the appropriate time.
Blessed is that servant.
Blessed is that servant.
Whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
Did you hear how, even though he called him a steward, he still brought it back to you're all servants.
Yes, amen.
Blessed is that servant. You're all my servants, he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But some of you shall have the job of being the presbytery. Some of you shall have the job of being church leaders. And those appointed in positions of authority in the church. And Jesus makes it clear that we are to care for the saints, and as I said earlier, must not shirk our responsibility or abuse the other servants. We're getting to that. And then we'll be held to a higher standard, as James 3:1 makes very clear. Do you have James 3:1? For everybody, I want to be a deacon. I want to be a minister, elder, bishop. Do you really? Understand something. It is no joke here.
Amen.
See, the Lord knows who wants it for personal esteem and to look like you're somewhat. I tell you, I think most sincere ones came dragged to this position.
James 3 at verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation.
What does he mean? Be not many masters. Masters mean teachers. In England, that's used much more for teacher. The headmaster, you hear, even have that in some of your schools. That's what he means by master. Be not many teachers. Because those who assume the position of teaching the word of God, you're going to be held to a higher standard.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Were you correct when you gave the word of God? And he's going to tell us in a minute, people that deliberately, willfully shirk their responsibility or go against the will of Jesus, knowingly or unknowingly, they still will be punished and they'll get their portion with the hypocrites. That's why I said, notice the word hypocrite earlier in Matthew. Because in Luke, he uses unbelievers, which means he's talking about false Christian preachers. And there are many of them today. Many of them today. Now, he also says, though, for pastors who are saved but mess up in their responsibilities or in some way get it wrong, he says, and through many other scriptures, including Hebrews, he has a way of punishing those whom he loved. But it will be in this life, and it will be at the judgment seat where you don't get crowns, gifts, or rewards. But that pastor shall be saved. You know why? Because Jesus already carried his sin. Read on, please.
Continuing with Luke chapter 12 at verse 44, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has.
That's the faithful teachers, preachers, pastors, shepherds, bishops, elders, leaders in the church. And when he says make him ruler over all he has, metaphorical way of saying I'm going to give you a lot of responsibility and honor.
Amen.
Because we know God the Father made Jesus ruler over all he has. Do you understand what I'm saying, saints? He's using parables to express something. And people take it literally and think, oh, I'm going to rule over you. See, it's about you now. I want a crown. You really think you're going to walk around with gold on your head? Those, again, are metaphors for great honors and great responsibility in eternity.
Amen.
Crowns, gifts, rewards. The wicked ones, the insincere ones, those that are about themselves, those that think they're me, Jesus, and those that begin to abuse my flock in some or any way, Jesus says this to you.
Verse 45, and if that servant say in his heart.
Notice he said that servant. Yeah, you claim to be serving me. So he calls them a servant. But Jesus does not come and cut his true servants in asunder in half, meaning utterly destroyed. It doesn't mean he's going to come and literally slice somebody's body in half. It's a metaphor for utterly destroy. And where do people get utterly destroyed? Where's their torment? In the lake of fire. He means eternal destruction. But if that servant says in his heart,
my Lord delayeth his coming.
This is a preacher who's doing whatever he wants, saying Jesus ain't coming. Hmm. And if he is, it'll be after I'm dead. I ain't worried about it. I'm going to get all I can in this life. Look, man, it's about me. And they may not say these words, but notice he said, if he says in his heart. Because yes. If you act like that, you really thought that in your inner being.
Amen.
And you really begin to mistreat God's heritage. He says, but if that servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming.
And shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens.
Now, he doesn't mean the pastor comes off the altar and begins to start beating the female servants and beating the men. He's saying abuse, take yes. advantage of, mistreat. Yes. That's what he's saying. But people take this literally and say if he begins to start beating the... this is a parable again. I must stress that. And we must take parables as parables. He's saying one thing to illustrate something else. So he's saying for the insincere preachers, church leaders, pastors, whatever, elders, deacons, ministers, whoever, that take advantage of that position and begin to abuse the membership. Now, don't forget, the analogy here was a householder. So it is though he is now eating the master's food, beginning to eat and to drink with drunkards. So he's using the household of the master's wine. And he's not just using it to quench his thirst, but getting drunk, meaning he's taking advantage of the master's things and abusing the master's other employees, servants. But people take this literally.
But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder.
That speaks of the severity of the final judgment of unbelievers, to be cut asunder. He's not talking about mutilation of anyone's physical body by cutting you in half. He's He's speaking metaphorically about being totally and severely punished in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. Yes. And that's metaphorical as well. Amen. Now, again, to come back over this, which says, begin to beat the male and female servants, and then to eat his food and drink his wine. He's saying take advantage of the resources of that master's house. And this is what false preachers do. They take advantage of the people and the resources of the house of the Lord. Do you see what he's saying? Please understand, this is all parable. Ezekiel 34 is where this is illustrated, where God is speaking to the corrupt leaders in Israel.
Yes, sir. Ezekiel 34 at verse 2.
Yeah, start at 1, actually.
Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
this is Ezekiel speaking.
Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them.
See, when he said prophesy and say unto them. Now, here's where I always try to explain. Prophesy means to preach, to teach the word of God. When he says prophesy, how prophesy? Say the word of God.
Yes.
Doesn't mean predict. People that are limited in their scope think the word prophesy always and only means predict. He says prophesy, then he tells you, here's what I mean by prophesy. Right. Say to them,
the Lord God unto,
thus saith
the
Lord
God unto the shepherds.
This is what the Lord God is saying to you, leaders of the people.
Woe be to the shepherds of Israel.
Woe to the shepherds of Israel.
That do feed themselves.
That feed themselves.
Should not.
What did Jesus just say here? That began to eat and to drink, meaning of the master's resources. They're taking care of themselves and neglecting the people.
Man.
This is as far back as Ezekiel. He says, prophesy, tell them the word of the Lord. This is what God says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves.
Should not the shepherds feed the flock?
Shouldn't the shepherds, shouldn't the leaders, shouldn't the preachers, shouldn't the deacons, ministers, elders, and bishops, shouldn't they be taking care of the people? Shouldn't they feed the people the word of God?
Amen.
This is what he's saying, yes?
Ye eat the fat, and
You eat the fat.
And ye clothe you with the wool.
You clothe yourselves with the wool.
You kill them that are fed.
You slaughter the fatlings.
But you feed not the flock.
But you're not giving it to the people. Mm. Do you see what he's saying? This is why Jesus is highlighting to Peter and the others there that are of the leadership. This was even done in Ezekiel. Watch out for crooked leaders who feed themselves and don't take care of the flock. This is what he's saying. And as James said, woe to those, be careful, those of you who want to be teachers, because you're held to a higher standard.
Amen.
Yes, he says.
Verse 3, ye feed the fat, and ye clothe you the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Verse 4, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick.
You didn't take care of the people.
Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost.
That which was lost. Amen. Notice he said this. I want you to notice this. Verse 4. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them.
Yes.
Now, I need the other Ezekiel. Ezekiel
3:17.
Yes, hold on. I think I might have wanted to read this one. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
17. Yes, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. See, now this is to the preacher. Now, we're not the house of Israel, we're the church, but same analogy. Son of man, I have made you a watchman to the house of Israel. This is why I told you, saints, I think it's so important that I correct the mistakes, the ill preaching of the past. It's on me, not on you.
That's true. That is very true.
Listen to this. Listen. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Now listen to what I'm saying. Listen, see what that says to me? If I know the truth to tell you, and I don't tell you, that's going to be on me. But if I tell you that there is a Son of God, and you could deliberately, and I show you scripture after scripture, and you ignore it, but in 1946, they said that, and you keep it, that's right, then the onus is off of me, and it's on you, because the Bible says, because you have told them.
Amen.
But if I know to tell you the truth and I don't tell you, then the Lord God was telling Ezekiel, and the same applies to us, then the onus will be on me and the responsibility, and he will hold me accountable. Why didn't you tell them? He says, the master of the house, of the servant, will come in a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him asunder, cut him in two, and look at this, and appoint him his portion.
Yes. Amen.
His portion with the unbelievers. Mm. Matthew said his portion with the hypocrites. That links, that puts hypocrites as unbelievers.
Amen.
Unbelievers as actors, hypocrites. Acting like one thing, not sincere. When the Lord appoints one's own portion with the unbelievers, it means you are an unbeliever. You're a hypocrite. And you will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where hell gets thrown, which was not even made for you. It was made for Satan and his minions.
Amen.
If you end up there, you are of all people most miserable. And here's the point I was making earlier. And the one who willfully knows better, but willfully. Now here we're talking about willful behavior of the unfaithful. He says, verse 47.
Luke 12:47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will.
Who knew, see, this is somebody who knows right from wrong, knows the Lord's will.
And prepared not himself, neither did according to his will.
But didn't get himself ready, nor did he do the will of Jesus.
Shall be beaten with many stripes.
What does that mean? Nobody's coming down in hell with a whip to beat you. It means, as it tells us in Matthew 10:15, Mark 6:11, Hebrews 10:29. It means there will be grades of punishment in hell. Mm. It is more severe for the great offenders. And when he says he shall be beaten with many stripes, he means false preachers get thrown in the worst part.
Yes.
Do you see why you shouldn't desire to be a preacher? If you willfully, now notice he said who knew. Yes. That means willful disobedience, willful. But now you're going to see here the ignorance of the law, ignorance of God's word is no excuse. Go ahead.
Verse 48, but he that knew not.
But he that did not know.
And did commit things.
And still did what was wrong.
Worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes.
He's going to get less. That's all that said.
Yes.
Even those who didn't necessarily know the will of God, so that you weren't a willful. See, this depends on the extent of your willful disobedience. And you still violate what you know is wrong according to the word, God says you'll still be responsible. Now, here is where we must understand other scriptures to know that when he says we'll be cut asunder and put in the lake, he's not talking about true believers who perhaps preach an error. People say, no true believer preaches an error. Didn't Peter?
Yes.
No, Holy Ghost filled Peter. When did he backslide? After he had the Holy Ghost. As I recall, it was after Pentecost, wasn't it?
Yes,
but somewhere I read that Paul was sent to correct Peter, didn't he? Wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Come on, saints, get with me here.
Yes, sir. Indeed.
If you are a saved preacher, but you preach error, that's been nailed to the cross. Because you did it ignorantly, unknowing. Though it's wrong. But those who willful,
yes,
the unfaithful servants who knew or didn't know the Lord's will, but still abused their right, abused the saints, he says, I'm going to appoint you. The ones who did it willfully, you get the worst part. And the ones who didn't necessarily know, who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, of punishment, he says, shall be beaten with few stripes.
Amen.
He just made a comparative. He's letting you know that in hell, all don't suffer the same, though all suffer. Just like in heaven, all are blessed, but all are not blessed the same.
Yes.
Some get crowns, gifts, rewards.
True.
Some get, well done, my good and faithful servant. Some get, all right, come on in. No. Some get, no, you're saved. You believed in Jesus, that's enough to save you. So some of you, you still get welcomed. You're in heaven, but you may not get what Isaiah sawed in half while still living with a wooden, dull saw. Everybody's not going to get, may my son sit on your right and your left. The Father appoints that. How do you know who the Father wants to appoint to Jesus' right and his left? But didn't the mother of Zebedee plead for her sons? Can James and John sit on your right and left? Ma'am, that's the Father appoints that. How do you know I don't want Paul to sit there?
Amen.
Have you suffered sacrifice and produced like a Paul? Mm. Have you? Do you even compare yourself to Paul? Were you beheaded like Paul, the church believes he was? And as Jesus foreshadowed Peter's crucifixion, and tradition has it he wanted to be done upside down, but when Jesus said they'll girt you and tie you, lead you with, that was a poetic language for you going to be crucified.
Yes.
Were you crucified? Have you suffered like these men had? How about our early church saints who were fed to starving, ravenous animals? And seeing the animals let out of the cage, still wouldn't deny Jesus, but stood there and was eaten, grabbed that limb from the. Have you been through that yet? You want to sit next to him on his right and his left.
But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask.
You don't know what you're asking for. Mm. Are you able to drink the cup that I have to drink? Jesus asked them.
You shall drink indeed of
that
cup.
Or you shall indeed drink it. And remember some of them, I think it was James and John, oh, we got this.
But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it's not mine to give.
The Father, Father's already decided that.
Amen.
How do you know it's someone not yet born that's going to suffer? What if I want Moses there? Ezekiel. I already mentioned the great Isaiah. What if I want Adam there? You never know. It's the Father's choice.
Amen.
But to sit at my right hand, meaning to be most honored. You really want that? What if I want David, who's going to help me rule in the kingdom anyway?
That's right.
What if I want David there? Mm. Are you a David? Yo, you sinned like David. Everybody in this audience can say amen to that.
Amen.
I don't care whether you committed adultery or not. You sinned like David. But do we read your name in Scripture? Is Jesus the root and offspring of you?
No, sir.
But you want to be on his right and his left.
Humble yourselves,
humble
therefore,
yourself,
under
therefore,
the mighty hand of God.
And let him exalt you in due time.
Amen. Hey.
You see the point here, though. Let's end with this. Willful disobedience is punished differently than ignorant disobedience, although all disobedience is punished. That's why we now pray every day and thank him for saving us.
Yes.
Because any and everything that we've done,
yes, sir.
Let me speak for we believers, any and everything that we've done has been nailed to the cross.
Amen.
He's carried it for us already.
Yes, sir.
The blessing of being found watching is that when he comes, he's not only going to have us with him, but he's going to dress himself, sit us down, and serve us. God bless you all. I see you all, Lord willing, that can make it to Boston. Peace be unto you.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.